Let go of fear. Let go of ego. Know that the bad idea is how you get to the good idea. If you can dream it, you can do it. Bring it on all day. It is taking some serious restraint not to start singing on top of that. Throwing in some, oh, yeah, but I also want you to have space to do that if you feel inclined. Welcome to Improve This, powered by Lock and Ladder. I'm John Strand. I'm excited about this episode today. We're going to talk about thinking big, specifically in the context of developing your own creativity, your own imagination. I think this is a muscle that has to be trained, and once you train it, you can get into a mode of thinking outside the box where you'll be able to solve any real-world problem that comes your way. You'll be able to have a better vision for your own life and start to live where you're stepping into possibility all the time, and that's an exciting place to be. So I hope you find it encouraging. We're going to look at some real-world examples. And at the end, we're going to talk about practical tips and tools of how you can improve your ability to be creative and think bigger for yourself. Think big. I wrestled with this one because part of me, I wanted to have a core value that definitely highlighted innovation. I definitely wanted to have something that spoke to creativity. We landed on think big because I think it encapsulates all of those things and more. When you say think big, my problem with a phrase like this is, I don't know, what the hell does that mean? Think big, you know? I mean, you hear that and you're like, oh yeah, I should think big, but what does that actually look like? What does that mean? What does it look like in the context of an organization? What does it look like in the context of your own life? So I wanna start with some definitions, because I think if you're gonna think big, a requisite for that is creativity. And I looked up the word creative, it's an adjective, and Webster's definition is marked by the ability or power to create, which I've always learned that it's bad to use the root word in the definition, so that doesn't tell us a whole lot. So I went to look at create. Create is a verb. I like that it's a verb. I like action words. I like words that imply that we have to actually do something here. The first definition, this is Webster's, number one, to bring into existence. To bring into existence. And then I skip down to the fourth definition. A and B are both really nice. To produce through imaginative skill. To produce through imaginative skill. And I like that it says skill, not talent. Skill, and by definition, that's something you acquire over time. So to produce through imaginative skill, and then part B to that is design. So when we look at creating something, to bring something into existence, to grow something, to make it bigger. I also looked up the word imagination, because that was getting thrown around a lot in some of these alternate definitions. And you guys don't need to write this one down, but imagination is a noun. It's the act or power of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses or never wholly perceived in reality. Second definition, creative ability. The ability to confront and deal with a problem. The active or thinking mind. The imagination. And I think these concepts go hand in hand. Creativity, imagination. If you're gonna think big, you have to have those things. Otherwise, you're not gonna see outside of your own experience. You're not gonna see outside of your own existence. I get trapped in this as well. So you just don't see beyond what you know. And so you end up thinking small and constrained and in a box. And so I love looking at, you know, historical examples of people who think big, and there's a lot we could look at. I mean, we could look at Elon Musk, or we could look at Richard Branson. One of my heroes is Walt Disney. There's a Disney Museum in San Francisco that's right by the Golden Gate Bridge. It's unbelievable. What I did not realize was what a pioneer he was when it came to technology. So Disney, you know, starts as this artist and he's drawing this mouse, but he wants to put sound to the movie. Hadn't been done before in animation. So that's why part of the reason Steamboat Willie was so successful was you've got this charming character, but you had technology that no one had ever done before, which was matching the sound perfectly to the track. Disney has ideas that he wants to show on film, and the ability to show those does not exist. So he creates brand new video camera contraptions. He's got one that's almost the size of this room, and it's 2.5 stories high. And he invented the plates, the way that plates could be slid in and out. And so he could move, basically this camera would come in almost like on a crane sort of rig system, and it could move up and down while plates were slid in and out. And so some of the camera poles and some of the cinematography that you see in Snow White, not only had it never been done before, but they had to invent whole new machinery and create whole new recording techniques just to pull it off. And he was known for that. Talk about an example of thinking big. And then to go to a theme park and recognize this is a dirty, disgusting place, as most theme parks were, and I'm gonna create one that's clean and magical and pristine. And of course, all the adversity he went through getting there is just absolutely fascinating. But none of the Disney empire, and like you saw in the film, it's a multi-billion dollar company. They have over, well, just his Imagineering studio has over 300 patents in audio systems, fiber optics, special effects, interactive tech, 12 theme parks, a town, 5 cruise ships, dozens of hotels, water parks, shopping centers, and sports complexes. And islands and music labels. And I mean, it's incredible. But the thought to get there was not an accident. And I assure you, if you look at every company, if you look under the hood of every company who's ever done insane innovation, large innovation, none of it was by accident. It was all by design. So let's look at the Imagineering studio that Disney created. The word Imagineering was introduced in the 1940s by Alcoa. It was first used in a Union Carbide article in 1957, and the article was called Brainstorming is Imagination Engineering. And then they put the two words together, Imagineering. Imagination Engineering, and I like that. Just thinking about those two words. Because you almost think they don't go together, but they absolutely do. There were 15 principles of Imagineering, and one of the first sort of underlying things with these principles is ideas without limitations. And Disney was famous for saying, if it can be dreamt, it can be built. Ideas without limitations. And the 15 principles, I'm not going to unpack all these, but I'm just going to fly through them real quick. One, it all begins with a story. Number two, you have to have creative intent. Number three, attention to detail. Love that. Adam's getting the full wrath of my attention to detail. Number four, theming, having a theme. Number five, long, medium, and close shots. Number six, weenies. Number seven, transitions, storyboards, pre-shows and post-shows, forced perspective, readability, kinetics, it's a small world effect, hidden Mickeys, and then lastly, plussing. I am going to tell you what this one is. Constantly striving to perfect Imagineering work. Disney thought that there was always room for innovation and improvement, and he even said Disneyland will never be completed so long as there is imagination left in the world. My purpose in reading all 15 of these is look at the design and the intentionality that went into thinking big. Disney was known for like having things clearly laid out, having clearly communicated things to people. And because of that, once people were operating underneath that umbrella, like Disney didn't come up with all the ideas, but there was a clear central vision that allowed people to operate and come up with incredible ideas. So the Soarin' ride that's super popular right now, and I love this ride. I've been on it probably 7 or 8 times, where you get in the seat, your legs are dangling. It's a four-dimensional ride, so it has movement and the chairs move. It feels like you're flying, but it's got the sound aspect, and then it also blasts smells. So like when you fly through the jungle and you feel like you're gonna hit the palm trees, it blasts you with the smell of palm trees. It's incredible. One of the Imagineers came up with that idea playing with an Erector set that he found in his attic. So you see how powerful this is. If it's clearly laid out and everybody knows what it means and they know what it looks like and they're all aligned on that vision and they start thinking big themselves, not just relying on Disney to come up with the ideas, some of the best rides, the best films, best practices. Wouldn't be right to talk about Disney without some Disney quotes. It's kind of fun to do the impossible. What's the statistic? How many upstarts go out of business in the first year? It's like 87%. It's super high. And then in the first 10 years, it's like 97% or 90%. I mean, it's crazy high, right? So just starting a company, you've already set foot on doing the impossible. But it's kind of fun. Most of us in this room did it before. We were all part of building a $102 million company. We all contributed to doing the impossible, you know, that's still around, been around for 24 years and counting. That's pretty cool. I'll tell you, it's really fulfilling too when you do something that was so outside your depth and you figure out a way to pull it off. And it's probably some of the most fulfilling. I remember doing a concrete, first time I did stamp concrete, and it felt impossible. I mean, it was actually terrifying because A, you're hoping you understand enough about the timing of concrete to get it stamped, let alone pouring it. And then when a big cement mixer pulls up in your yard and that truck's spinning and it's twice your height and you're going, what have I gotten myself into? But we pulled it off barely and it was fun. It was so much fun. We started just doing them at each other's houses all the time. And it really felt impossible though. Those first couple pours. It's kind of fun to do the impossible. Here's one. These are all Disney quotes. If you can dream it, you can do it. If you can dream it, you can do it. First, think. Second, believe. Third, dream. Finally, dare. Think big. First, think. Then believe. Then dream. Then dare. And then just to wrap up, every child is born blessed with a vivid imagination. Every child is born blessed with a vivid imagination. And I think this is important because I think we get a lot of our imagination beat out of us by school and society. And then we get shuffled into these categories of, oh, well, he's an artist, he's creative, and I'm not. And, you know, it's just bullshit. This notion that you can't be creative. We don't understand what creativity is. That's why I wanted to talk about the definitions. It's a phenomenon whereby something new and valuable is created. Most people have pulled that off. We're not artists. We sort of need to rethink creativity. And go back to that definition, to bring into existence, to grow, to become bigger. You know, the ability to confront and deal with a problem. The active or thinking mind. That's what it looks like. Every single one of us, Disney, who arguably is one of the more creative people to walk the planet, said every child is born blessed with a vivid imagination. So I want to look at the practical application, shift gears, and then we'll wrap up. What does it look like? You know, how do you foster that creativity? How do you think big? For that, I turn to Jim Rohn. He's one of my heroes. He has 6 tips for how to become more creative. And Jim Rohn says, creativity is the first requirement for self-enterprise. Creativity is the first requirement for self-enterprise. So this is the first step, and it absolutely can be developed. It's absolutely a skill. And so his first suggestion is, one, think on paper. Think on paper. I can tell you from experience, you want to write things down. You want to write down ideas. There's too much in your head. I know this because it's like, I'll have a million ideas, but if I don't write them down, I'll forget about them. I won't come back to them. They're not present enough for me to focus on. But when I start putting pen to paper and I can go back and look, or if I type something up and I can reference it and sort of work it out, that's when I actually start to get traction on things. He talks about this is your roadmap. You want to write down what the problem is. Quite frankly, there's too much in our own heads. We want to take a piece of it out of our head and put it on paper so it's in front of us. And he says, start with this question, what can I do? So when we face a problem, number one, ask yourself, what can I do? Write it down. What can I do? He said, if you have a solution right then and there, then you can stop. Now you can form an action plan. Now, if you don't know what you can do, and I've found myself in this position plenty of times, the second step for me was, what can I read? What can I research? He says, do your homework and find the solution. Turns out there's all kinds of tips and tricks and techniques and people who have written it down, made YouTube videos. And it's crazy. I've been guilty of this so many times where it's like I have a problem, I get overwhelmed by the problem, and I won't even get on YouTube to find out what the answer is to that problem. Or people come to me with a problem. And they're like, what do I do? I don't know about this. I don't know about that. And I'm like, have you looked on YouTube? It's like, well, hey, guess what? There is a whole systematic roadmap available. There's whole books that have been written on it. You want more business leads? There's, oh my goodness, there's almost too much where it's hard to know who's like legit and who's not. He actually talks about that. He says you can sift through, and if the first book isn't good, move to the next one. And if the next one's not good, move to the third, and third, you might go, oh, wow, there's a couple good ideas here. I like that. That's interesting to me. But this is step one to actually being more creative, is getting in this mindset of, number one, what can I do? Number two, what can I read? Number three, if you can't find it in a book or a video, who could I ask? I've screwed this one up a ton as well. It's like, I've got great business resources around me and music resources around me and friends who are much more successful than I've ever been in music. And I won't even pick up the phone and call them. Whoops. Started to get a lot better at that because I've realized, man, the benefit, and most people are just thrilled to share their knowledge with you. Most people want to help you. So start there, think on paper. What can I do? What can I read? Who could I ask? Number two, develop the ability to brainstorm. And what is brainstorming? Well, it's when you let your brain go. It's when you're thinking freely. And I'm going to give you a tip on brainstorming. You need space for that. If you want to come up with a good idea for anything, you're going to have to sit down with nothing in front of you and work it out. Maybe a pen and paper. You need to create space if you're going to brainstorm. And I think this is what's hard to do in society now because we're just distracted all the time. There's always something pulling our attention. It's hard to just go sit and be and think. This is part of thinking big. Create the space. And then secondly, you can't bring any ego to it. If you come in with ego, you're going to get your feelings hurt, especially on a group brainstorming session. You can't have any fear of saying something stupid. If you're brainstorming properly, you're going to say something stupid. I hope you say something stupid. I hope you say something silly that we all laugh at. The silly comment that you make might prompt Charles to come up with a whole thought train that actually solves the problem. Now, a requisite for that, too, is you have to be in a safe space. You have to trust the people that you're brainstorming with in a group session. So, no ego, no judgment. Number three, think without practicality or confinement. Now, Disney did this with the Imagineers, where they would say, explore an idea as far as you can. Don't worry about budget, and don't worry about if it's even physically possible. Thinking creatively is, don't be practical, don't have confinement, don't have constraints. Just go, let your mind wander. Number four, doodle. Doodle. Even if you're not like an artist or a good drawer, something happens in your mind when you start drawing. You activate a different side of the brain. You can start to relax, and there's a whole process. Won't get into the science now, but your mind actually starts to operate differently. Number five, access the information highway. So internet, obviously incredibly powerful. What happens on the internet is we get on the internet and we start going down rabbit holes of videos that aren't useful. So I'm adding to this, but use the internet intentionally. So if you're doing it to spur some creative thinking, you know, use it intentionally. And number six, and this is so spot on, feed your mind. Feed your mind, commit to learning. Commit to learning. As you learn, as you get new ideas, as your mind grows, it sparks new ideas. I'm gonna add to this also, I mean, let go of fear. I think that's really important. There's a great book on this called Art and Fear that I read a long time ago, because a lot of artists struggle with the fear and the doing it right and having the control and what if it's not good enough and imposter syndrome and all that. And so let go of fear, let go of ego. Know that the bad idea is how you get to the good idea. And lastly, what do you want your life to look like? Are you thinking big about your own life? That can look like a lot of different things. It doesn't need to, like, each of us, I think, has our own sort of goals and ambitions and dreams. So it might not be trying to keep up with Yoon Olsen throwing ski tournaments and running clothing companies and building cars. And, you know, like, there's a guy who's thinking very big. It's like one of the most successful skiers in the world. And he, you know, he was doing tournaments back when no one was really even thinking that way and getting partnering strategically with brands. So maybe it doesn't look like that, but maybe thinking a little bit bigger than we are now starts you down a path of world travel, or starts you down a path of intentional wealth management. There's so many areas of our own lives where we just, quite frankly, don't think big enough about, don't think well enough about. I think there's an intentionality and a, like, you could sit down and go, well, what do I really want my life to look like? What is my vision here? And too often we just don't even go there. We don't even allow ourselves room to imagine, well, what if? What if I could do that? What if I did this? What if I learned this? What if I became this person? Think big. First think. Then believe. Then dream. Then dare. Think big. And as you think big, be someone who isn't afraid to dream. Be someone who isn't afraid to dare. Be somebody that's going to look outside the box, that's going to challenge the status quo, that's going to do it on the little areas of your life, to the big areas of your life, to small challenges at work and large challenges. And watch what happens. In fact, tell us what happens. Leave us a comment or a line. Same thing, if you have any thoughts or feedback from the episode today, we'd love to hear from you. And then tune in next Monday. We're going to do a follow-up on thinking big, which is how to think better. I hope you have a great week this week, and we'll see you here next Monday as we improve this together. Bring it on all day.